coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio. Located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman Report. It's Tuesday, July 30, 2024. I have a great show lined up for you today. A lot of information to get through. It seems like we are living through decades of headlines in just the same amount of days, 10 days, 10 years. And you know, this platform, the Hagman Report, is a subsidiary of Hagman Investigative Services Incorporated. We've been around for almost 40 years. I've been doing this 37 years, I guess. We are really intent on providing answers to you, the listener and the viewer, about what really happened on July 13th. Why are we so focused on that, you might ask? Well, it's okay to ask. This, to me, is a modern-day Dealey Plaza situation, right down to the placing the head of the alleged shooter on the Oswald body, if you will. If you remember that photograph from decades past, we are seeing a confluence of events. And I've really talked to a lot of people and thought long and hard about this and have gone through a lot of information, a lot of data, and talked to people who would be familiar names to you, getting their take on this, whether it be people with big followings on social media, for example, like Jack Posobiec, as one example of somebody with a big following, getting the thoughts, the non-public thoughts of individuals such as that and what they have been hearing. And it's interesting, but it's not definitive, of course. So we want to bring you the definitive answers. And to that end, I've got some video clips here I think are important. And one of the most important shows I think I listened and watched yesterday was Natalie Winters interviewing both Tom Renz, a friend of this program, and someone who's got his own thoughts on pretty much what happened. And I concur with Tom Renz on a number of things, as well as Mike Benz talking about the questions that have not been asked that need to be asked. Now, having said that, I knew I had these, and I was looking for them, and I found them. There's two relevant documents from years past that I have in my possession. And they're copies of the New York Times, both of them. Now, I'm not going to put these in the show notes for copyright reasons, okay? But you can perhaps find them. One, and I didn't even give these to Eric to show you on air. One is a New York Times piece from Thursday, February 9th, 1978. And here it is right here. Again, this is my copy. You can't really see that. But anyway.
That'd be tough for me to find.
Yes. But in the vast library here that we have. It may be tough on to find online. You've got to go to the archive records of the newspapers. But at any rate, the headline is this: CIA documents tell of 1954 project to create involuntary assassins. Now, you've known about this. Everyone listening to this show, I'm sure, has known about these programs, these CIA programs. But at that time, you have to go back to 78, go back to 75 after the Church Committee, and what the New York Times, and I apologize for even citing them, given their stenographers for the deep state. But This is telling. The Central Intelligence Agency began studying in 1954 to find out whether a person could be secretly induced to commit an assassination against his will. Now, there were newly released documents there. And this article goes on to reference the FOIAs by the New York Times and others that discovered the projects known as Artichoke and others. You've heard these. But when you go back and grab the original documents and then follow through on the FOIA, the documents that were FOIA'd and found by the individuals, by the entities who requested them and subsequently received them, as well as the censorship attempts. This is key to today. The censorship attempts to keep this out of the media. I find it very interesting parallels to today. But also, the groundwork has been ongoing to create these patsies, whether it be Oswald, whether it be Sirhan, whether it be Thomas Crux. And the jury, of course, is still out on all of that, but especially Crux. But, you know, we can easily pass this off as, well, you know, it's just Occam's razor. People will cite Occam's razor. The simple explanation is often the most accurate. Well, is it in this case, given all we know and given all that we've experienced in the past 4 years alone, is that really the truth? Okay, so there's that one. And then, of course, we've been hearing about the discussion about, oh, H5N1 bird flu now jumping from human to human. Well, all of this is gain of function. But here's something I found in my search for that document. I found something else in the New York Times. And again, my apologies for the source, but it is what it is. September 29th in the year 2000, new voluntary standards are proposed for experiments on people. Did you know that you were lab rats? I'm a lab rat. Eric detects a lab rat. What? No commentary?
Hurts my feelings.
A little slow on that coming in, but no, you know, look, here's the
who are you calling a rat?
Not you, brother. No, not you. No, no, no. Not you.
The rat pack.
Oh, for the days of yore, right? Okay. The paragraph that jumped out at me was this. In this Friday, September 29th, in the year 2000, New York Times, new voluntary standards are proposed for experiments on people. And I'm sorry, if I posted these, they would be taken down right away. I'm just telling you that. This is a paragraph that caught my eye. Last fall, Jesse Gelsinger, 18 years old, of Tucson, Arizona, died in a, you ready for this? A gene therapy experiment. Say what? And then it goes on to say this. And in the past 2 years, the federal government has shut down human research at 8 major universities and hospitals for failure to abide by the nation's ethics rules and has cited an additional 34 universities and hospitals for similar violations. So what is this saying here? The mRNA, the gene research, has been going on for a long time. And anyone who doubts that, all they need to do is go to their favorite publication on record, the New York Times, right, for the deep state, and pick out this article from Friday, September 29th, 2000. There it is. Gene therapy. You can ask the family of Jesse Gelsinger of Tucson about how that was going, how that ended up. Now, the article does go on and talk about, you know, hey, we've got to have some standards in place if we're going to be doing this. I just thought that was rather interesting. Now, Those two articles have a lot to do with what we're talking about right now. And that is this. The left wants the left to remain in power forever. Now, you're going to hear that said about Donald Trump. And I even noticed some of our listeners and viewers will say, he is not his last speech talking about, Christians won't have to vote again. And folks, yes, I did hear about, I listened to that rally speech live, and I too stopped for a moment and I asked myself, did he say what I thought he said, that he wasn't a Christian? And when you walk back through, or when you go back through that audio, he does kind of mince his words there, slur his words, I should say. You've got to listen closely. He said, I am a Christian, but boy, I'm going to tell you, it came out sounding like I'm not a Christian. I went through the original audio on that. I was watching it, I believe, on one channel, and the mic was in a different position on the one as it was on the other. So when I switched to the other channel, it was a little bit clearer. Because I'll do that too. I'll say something and it sounds weird, and it just happens. But anyway, more to the point, the left wants to retain power. Donald Trump was already in power and relinquished that power. The left wants you to believe the tale of January 6th. The left wants you to believe the fednapping plot, or the kidnapping plot, which is really a fednapping plot against Gretchen Whitmer. The left wants you to believe that the Trump assassination attempt was an inside job by Trump to gain sympathy. That's what the left wants you to believe. The left is being given, as well as the media, the majority of the media, that they're being given talking points. And you, did you hear that? What was that? No. Sorry about that. Noise from my office. It sounded like a car just spun out in my office. Never mind. Okay. To show you just the coordination, where one would think coordination is not possible. And you've seen, of course, all of the, I don't even know what you would call them, the mashups of, it's the same script, different TV personalities. In some cases, different podcast personalities, but it's the same script. I'm going to show you video cut one in the show notes at HagmanPI.com. This is their new talking point. Now, J.D. Vance is weird. The ticket, the Trump-Vance ticket, is weird. They're weird. We are weird. But again, as a display, an illustration of what's really taking place behind the scenes, the level of coordination, and folks, please pay attention to this. Do not underestimate what this can do. What this is doing right now to the psyches of the public. I know you understand this, but for the latest, let's go ahead and play cut one. It's 2 minutes long, but it's important. Here it is.
Some of what he and his running mate are saying, well, it's just plain weird.
These guys are just weird. That's where they are.
As weird and creepy as J.D. Vance.
A super weird idea from J.D. Vance.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, it's quite weird.
They're just plain weird.
Just plain weird.
Just plain weird.
That stuff is weird. They come across weird, and then they start being weird. Yeah, they're weird.
Being a really weird.
He's such a weirdo.
Donald Trump and his weirdo running mate are weird. Deeply and profoundly weird.
They are weird.
These Republicans just being weird, it's just weird. It's really weird.
Republican weirdness goes even deeper.
He said a lot of things that are weird, a weird style that he brings, weird policies.
Let's start with the weird thing, because it is a thing.
Just plain weird.
What was weird was talking about Diet Mountain Dew. Who drinks Diet Mountain Dew?
You ever seen the guy laugh? That seems very weird to me that that an adult can go through 6.5 years of being in the public eye. If he has laughed, it's at someone, not with someone. That is weird behavior.
Weird and cultish.
These are weird people on the other side.
He kind of doubled down on his weird ideas.
I think weird is probably generous.
Simply weird.
These guys are just plain weird.
Vance as weird?
You know, as the campaign said, weird.
It really is just plain weird.
J.D. Vance, plain weird.
No, I mean, I don't know how else you could read it.
Weird. It is kind of weird.
We're not afraid of weird people.
The other side, they're just weird.
Why are you being so weird?
Vance has done something more extreme, more weird.
No matter what kind of weird stuff they keep saying.
Trump and Vance are just weird. In addition to being dangerous to democracy.
That's the weird part that's the most engaging.
Whom he addressed as my beautiful Christians, which was super weird.
Weird tech bro J.D. Vance.
He's a weird guy.
J.D. Vance, uneasy and sort of weird.
Frankly, for lack of a better word, that he's weird.
Sarcastic remarks that aren't even funny, and he kind of shows that he can't really deliver a one-liner.
So, Sam, weird is the word here in terms of initial impressions from.
So there you have it. And thank you, Graybian, for that mashup of the new talking points. All right. Now, to the extent that we are seeing this play out, the same template, of course, has been used throughout the years. The talking points have been given, and the time that we're in right now, geopolitically, extremely tenuous and extremely dangerous. It's just amazing. Oh, before I forget, I just want to mention this as well. Totally off topic, but I spoke with Steve Quayle today, and I believe he's going to be joining me on Thursday. That's Steve Quayle. So make a mark on your calendar. Steve Quayle on Thursday. He's got a lot to talk about, of course. But anyway, getting back to
this. You know what's weird?
What's weird? Tell me. I'm weird.
The Olympic opening ceremonies. That the Democrats just love.
Who did I see praising that just a little bit ago? Oh, Joe Biden. Jill Biden. See, it almost sounded like Joe Biden, but Jill Biden. I have to learn enunciation.
You know what else is weird?
What's weird?
Joe Biden grew 6 inches.
And not
where you think.
Right on the same. Yeah. Well, it's a good thing. What are your thoughts on that, folks? Seriously. And Eric the Tech, chime in here.
It's like Slender Man coming out of the woods for you.
Well, he chubbed up a little bit. And again, not where you think, but it seems like he chubbed up a bit. The old sausage fingers didn't even have his wedding ring on that I saw in that latest Joe Biden appearance.
Know what else is weird?
Go ahead.
Obama's picture with his best friend when he was really young.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to have to talk to Larry Sinclair. Obama's picture. You know, Larry Sinclair, let me tell you something. Okay, all of this, you might say, well, you're just throwing words out there. There's a lot of weird stuff taking place, and this is correct. And it's not J.D. Vance weird. I mean, J.D. Vance is who he is, and you might not like him. You might like him. It doesn't matter. We're talking about just the facts surrounding all of this. Where do you even go from that? Okay. The Biden appearances. Everyone I have talked to that's in the orbit, inside the Beltway, everyone I've talked to inside the Beltway has said that Biden was threatened with the 25th Amendment. Not that this means anything to anyone, right? But it does. Was threatened with the 25th Amendment if he would not come right out and say that he was not running for re-election.
Weird.
It's weird. Now, I don't know if that was given to the tall Biden or the short Biden or the Biden with the bruise on his chin or the detached or attached earlobes. I don't know.
You know what else is weird?
Go for it, bro. Go for it.
When Hillary would glitch out on stage or in front of a camera.
And how many...
Hey,
Yeah, you know, how many people have forgotten about what took place with Hillary Clinton when she was tossed in that van for the ceremony of 9/11, and then she comes out of Chelsea's apartment looking totally different. I mean, have you forgotten about that? Or her, would you call it the Parkinsonian type of response to the balloons or to that chai tea or whatever that was, where she seemed to go into like a slight seizure?
You know what else is weird?
Oh, Lord.
The sexual mutilation of children.
Yes, and the left's embrace and love of that. And even some on the right. Okay, that's really not a political issue. That's a moral rendering of the fabric of our spirituality. That's a deep subject. And you're right. As portrayed, going back to your original statement there, Eric the Tech, in the Olympics, where you have this trans blob ostensibly playing the role of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in a depiction of a mocking of the Last Supper, and Joe Biden saying, "Oh, it was so great, so great." Well, what the hell? I mean, seriously, this moral assault or this assault, spiritual assault on our Christianity is part and parcel to. And I've heard this stated many times. We've talked about this many times. The communist agenda, the 45 goals of the communists written or entered into the congressional record by Representative Herlong in 1963, based on a book by Cleon Skousen from, I think, 1958. And a part of those goals, I think five, related to the disintegration of the biblical family, man, woman, the pushing of pornography, pushing of this deviance that we're seeing today. It's so important, really, really important. Really, we have to. But this is all connected to the current events that we're talking about. This is all connected to the left's thirst and need to stay in power. You know, yesterday I was going to show you, and I did not show you this, but I think it's in the show notes from yesterday, what the elections in Venezuela, which have the imprimatur of Kamala. I was just thinking about something. No. Which have the imprimatur, the approval of the Harris.
Does it have something to do with a desert animal?
You know, when Trump said, "I've heard her name pronounced several different ways," I pronounce it like every way possible and really munched up her name. I don't really care. Okay. I'm not an orator. I write better than I talk.
Knee pads.
Knee pads, Harris. Heels up, Harris. Oh, my. You talk about the way to get to the top, you know, climbing the tickle sticks of Willie Brown and others.
I've got hairy legs.
Corn Pop was a bad dude. And here we are. Do you feel like you've been dropped in to like the middle of the Truman Show or something similar? And I have to really, we have to have times like this, parts of episodes like this where, you know, you look at things and you think, what the hell is going on? And I emphasize the word hell because that's what it seems like the gates of hell have opened, which, by the way, Steve Quayle, Daniel Holdings, you heard that show about Earth and the Crosshairs. I'm telling you, the gates of hell seemingly have opened.
It's weird.
It's weird. You know what I'm going to do? I'll tell you what we're going to do right now. Let's get Bob Kudla on. There's a lot of economic news right now.
How do we get from deplorable to weird?
Well,
weirdos.
I think people, you know, that's a legitimate question too. when the stenographers of the deep state give the script to the mouthpieces, I do believe there is a level of focus group kind of stuff that takes place, where deplorables is one thing, weird is another thing. They'll change the wording to, and I'm serious about this, they'll change the wording to accommodate or to better suit the time. And I think deplorables maybe didn't resonate or actually empowered the America First popular or nationalist, if you will, the America First crowd. I think that had the opposite effect. So everyone knows what weird and can relate to weird. And I think that's the their embracing.
It's weird, though.
It's weird, though.
Because it's not like a threatening word.
But how many times have you used that word? Boy, that's weird. And can relate to weirdness by itself and then apply that. Versus how many times have you used deplorable or the plural of deplorable?
I mean, probably if you call me weird,
yeah,
I'll just be like, okay, and brush it off. You call me a deplorable, I'm at your throat.
Well, that's not nice. But okay. But can you, which word can you relate, not relate to, which word do you think has a better effect on the masses of the average person out there? Weird or deplorable?
Neither.
I'm with you. But on balance, I would say that using, and again, language is important because they're trying to change our language, everything, borders, language, culture. But weird has, boy, we can spend 20 minutes on this very issue. And by the way,
why not use a word like irrelevant?
Boy.
No, folks, piss me off a little more than the word weird. I don't know.
No, you know, that's a good point. I wouldn't.
Like, okay, call us weird. Go for it.
Right. But when you say you're irrelevant, that's enough to really piss you off.
Yes.
Let's not give them any ideas. All right. A lot of economic news as well. But I do want to, toward the end of this episode, I want to get into a couple of things. Tom Renz, good friend of the show, friend of mine, was talking about, as well as Mike Benz, about what to expect, I believe, what to expect, both with the bird flu, H5N1, that's not new, and the response, more importantly, the response to that, who's behind the scenes there, and Mike Benz as well, talking about naming names in this assassination attempt of President Trump. And really, to kind of tie all of this up, the updated timeline by Epoch Times, which will be in the show notes as well, if we don't get to it. But it's a three-day-old timeline. But the fact of the matter is, in what we're finding right now every day is that this assassination, like the Kennedy assassination, okay, this assassination attempt, pardon me, and the murdering of a rally goer and the severe injuries sustained by two people, I like my Biden stutter there. This was planned. Yeah. You know, folks, I'd really love if everyone could come in to one of our sessions, you know, prior to the show, and just listen and be part of the discussion, because you guys would be rolling on the floor. We should have an open mic to those sessions. Of course,
waiting for your tagline.
We get banned.
My an investigator, not a talk show host.
Yeah, I am, man. I don't. don't even know how I got here in terms of, you know,
weirdo.
This is weird. How weird is that? I could even say deplorable, but that wouldn't resonate. Okay. Do we have him? No. Okay. We're waiting. I'm waiting on the guest, Bob Kudlow. Folks, if you haven't done so already, one of the things that I'm concerned about is really the months between now and Election Day, now and Inauguration Day. I'm very concerned about that. By the way, did you send him a... Okay, thanks. Knows how he can finish my sentences. All right. I'm very concerned about the things that are about to happen because I do suspect that they're going to attempt to lock us down, which, by the way, I shamelessly say we have the medical kits and contagion kits from the wellness company. The wellness company, the TWC.health/Hagman, we have them because they will pull something. And it'll be a real attack, a biochemical attack, just like fentanyl from the South and from China.
When you catch the bird flu from the rat pack.
It's designed for the weird and deplorable among us. I'm telling you, thanks for the levity because it does help me through this, as it helps many people through this. I can see some dark times ahead in the left's quest for just clawing at power and staying in power. And the other thing, too, is in these times of economic uncertainty, in these times of geopolitical uncertainty, we have to be prepared. So I urge everyone, and I'm not getting paid. I get, a small commission on the back end, not enough to even worry about, but I really want everyone out there listening to this to be prepared. The wellness company, TWC.health/Hagman. I really want people to be prepared for that, whatever they have coming. And I really believe if some of my friends had this available to them, that they'd still be alive today. And that saddens me. Some good friends. All right, while we're waiting on Bob, I asked Bob to come on to talk about the current economic venue or the current economic timeline here and what he can offer to you folks to really stay afloat in these times. But while we're waiting on him, let's do this. Let's show the Epoch Times updated timeline first. This is of the day of the assassination. Folks, I believe as we were talking about yesterday with Randy Taylor, and by the way, if you did not see yesterday's show, please watch it, listen to it, whatever. But we have a lot of good, solid evidence that we have confirmed. Nothing we will say to you is speculation that has been confirmed. And I feel very good about providing that information to you. And also, the commission by Speaker Johnson that he created or he selected people to investigate this assassination attempt. In my view, this will be nothing more than a glorified Warren Commission. Eli Crane was not invited. Corey Mills, not invited. You've got Mike Kelly, who I know from my area, on there. Should he be on there? Because he's part of the Butler. He's from Butler. Should he be on there? I suppose he could be, but none of the people, really few of the people, I shouldn't say none of the people, few of the people, really have any kind of experience to ask the proper questions. So I don't have a lot of faith in this commission. And I hear talk, I think it was by Crane, maybe it was Mills, to run a parallel investigation. And if so, then great. We'll follow the parallel investigation. But I wouldn't trust anything about this. But if you can, is he? Just let me know if he is. No? You're trying to figure out. No worries. Well, in the meantime, if you can throw up the timeline, the Epic Times timeline. That'd be great. I know it's weird. Even in some cases, deplorable. But it's important. The assassination plans to take out President Trump were always being developed. This is our finding. The articles I showed you from the New York Times, going back to the CIA operation of a 19, or CIA documents tell of the 1954 project to create an involuntary assassins, to create involuntary, yeah. Look, folks, this has always been the case. MK Ultra, Project Artichoke, and so on. You get the idea. Now the this article will tell you no, it's really not possible, not tested, and they ceased these efforts. Well, that's a bunch of crap. They haven't ceased, and they continue. But in this Epoch Times article, it starts out with July 3rd, the Trump campaign announces a rally in Butler, Pennsylvania. Now, Mike Benz, as well as others, have asked who selected that venue and why, because there are other venues that are much better and much they're able to secure those venues better. So the question arises, who selected that venue and why? We need an answer to that question. Was someone within the Trump campaign, or was someone within the Trump campaign directed to that area by someone within the Department of Homeland Security who oversees the Secret Service? We need an answer to that question. It was found that on July 6th, and if you look at this article, this is what the authorities are telling us. July 6th, Crux, the alleged shooter, searches online for upcoming events being held by former President Trump and the DNC National or Democratic National Committee. Now, this is based on a statement from Melanie Stansberry from New Mexico, who cites briefings from law enforcement officials. That's weird. So Crux searches on the internet for how, and you cannot make this up if you think about this really hard. Crux searches on the internet for how far away Lee Harvey Oswald was from President John F. Kennedy when Oswald shot the president. Boy, it's almost like this was scripted out, don't you think? Now, I'm not bashing the Epoch Times for this. I'm just saying, man, this sounds like this is a again, put his head on the body of Lee Harvey Oswald, in the infamous photo where he's holding the rifle. Okay, so, or somebody else was, and they just put a superimposed head on. Okay, that search, that's obviously significant in terms of his state of mind. This, according to Christopher Wray, head of the FBI. Mr. Crux registers for the Butler rally on July 6th. This is a full week before the event. Later on July 6th, he actually visits the site of the rally for the first time, spending about 20 minutes in that area. And I must add, all of the photographs, the pictures being shown spread across the internet of this Crux is when he was, 16, 15, 16, young kid. They're irrelevant to the current events. So that was on July 6th. Spent 20 minutes there. The day before the shooting, on July 12th, he goes to a shooting range where he practices with a rifle. And this was a Clarion Sportsman's Club. We were able to confirm that, as well as we were able to confirm that many within the Department of Homeland Security Investigation Division and some from the... Okay, I'll say this. Some Secret Service members from the office in Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh's got a couple of different offices of Homeland Security, Secret Service, FBI, and yes, the CIA. How do I know that? Because I had a CIA officer in my house from the Pittsburgh branch a number of years ago. That's weird. And it was weird, believe me. Well, I should add, they've got some really great looking credentials when they show you. Pretty intimidating. Anyway, Joe Biden. Anyway, yeah. So, Crooks went to the Clarion Sportsman's Club on the day prior. Now, he took a weapon with him, and it was an AR platform weapon. And Ray, even at this late date, says, well, we're not sure if that's a weapon used in the assassination attempt. Okay, whatever. When might you be? Eric the Tech, is that weird?
I would say most likely it was.
Yeah, most likely. Gee, how hard would that be to compare weapons? Or to you know, how difficult must that be? What are you going to say? No?
I mean, yeah, you might not be able to confirm it, but...
Well...
Confirm it.
Yeah, I'll take an AK to the sporting club, you know, and then use an AR platform to try to... Yeah, right, okay. It makes no sense.
I could shoot my airsoft rifle the day before.
So on the morning of the rally, Crooks returns to the rally site and spends around 70 minutes there. This is the morning of... Now, this is, figure this, an hour and 10 minutes in the morning. It was the second of his three visits to the site. Remember, the first one was the day before. This is the second one, the morning of. And then the third one, of course, will be the actual event, which is extremely interesting. So at 1:30 in the afternoon on the day of the rally, Crooks buys ammunition. Now, you would think. Now, think this through, folks. Eric the Tech and I, we do go out and we shoot together. And we shoot rifles and pistols and we shoot them at lions and tigers and bears, oh my. Now, we have different weapons for different days and different purposes. But we always have ammunition. So you're telling me that Crooks has been shooting at the Sportsman's Club and really doesn't have any ammunition on hand. So he goes and buys ammunition, but that's the way what we're supposed to believe. And he doesn't
feel like if there's
50 rounds, by the way,
president or past president speaking in a town.
Yes.
Maybe we should shut down our armories that day.
See, I have the reverse opinion. Maybe you had to sell like a whole boatload of ammo. Discount the hell out of the ammo. And that's not meant as a threat to the... No, but it's more of a patriotic USA...
I would say if people were armed there that day, this might not have happened.
Yes, and this is a very, very important thing. The shooter was outside of the inside perimeter. So in other words, he was denied entry into the rally area because he was acting weird. He was pulling at his hair. He was doing all sorts of weird stuff, and they thought he was Antifa, or they said he was Antifa. But you could have been armed outside of that perimeter, and no one would come up to you and say, "Hey, you've got a gun," because that no one cared about that area when they bought when they should have. Am I right? I mean, you're 150 yards away from the perhaps next president of the U.S. And
well, even where those people were at those trees,
yeah,
by the building he shot from.
Yes,
if I was armed, I don't think he would have got a shot off. I would have taken care of it.
I would bet on that. I would bet, folks. Let me tell you something. This guy can take out a gnat, you know, from 50 yards.
If you're somewhat confident.
Yes.
And sneaky, yeah, wouldn't have been a problem.
Right. Now, the most important point about this is this, all of this began months ago. The grooming of this individual that you know and I know or have been told, as Thomas Crooks has been, the grooming of this individual was months and months and months, perhaps a year plus in advance, by the very people I referenced here. I'm telling you, this is not irrelevant to what we're talking about. So he buys
probably could have
rounds.
Snuck up on him and choked him out, not even had to shoot him.
Yes, indeed. I believe you could have done a number of non-lethal things.
And there were thousands of males there that could have done that.
Yes. But during this time, and immediately before this time, by immediately before, I'm talking minutes. I don't know whether you saw this. We have the video of individuals being rousted by the owner of the AGR building, saying, "You're trespassing. Get out of this area." Have you seen that? Has anyone seen that video?
No.
It's out there. So somebody from the AGR building gets out of the building, in between the buildings and the fence line, telling the people there, "Get out. You are trespassing. You're not allowed here." And many of the people complied. And this is right before the shots were fired. And some of the people in that very area were saying, "Hey, look, there's a guy on the roof with a rifle."
Okay. As they were getting escorted out.
Well, again, the timing of this, it's interesting because it is several minutes. We're still working on that time, the verification of the time from when that video that we have was taken to the escorting or to the shooting.
Then let's just surround the building with officers and let the president keep speaking.
Yeah. And if you've ever, this is true, okay, if you've ever tried to look on a slightly sloped roof from the ground, your vantage point is not the greatest the closer you are to the building. You know what I'm talking about. So you've got to kind of move back from the building to see the top on this slightly sloped roof, nor to see the individual. But I digress. But 50 rounds of ammunition, that's it? Okay. Now, people were saying, well, this guy was trying to create a mass casualty event. Well, with 50 rounds, maybe. But this goes, in my view, this goes to the fact that he was more of a patsy than, again, please listen to what I'm saying. I'm not going full into the weeds here yet. But,
and this is where we need firearm details. How many magazines did he have? What was in the book bag? Like,
keep it going. That's right.
Because if he had quite a few magazines, then that would point to a mass shooting.
That's correct.
But if he only had one,
what does that even tell you? Yes.
Was it a 30-round mag? Was it 15? Was it like?
Was it 10? I mean, yeah. But we need the details. And this is why I talked yesterday about not being led, not being involved in the guided tour. Now, again, nothing against, and props to, actually, Benny Johnson, the Benny Show. Props to him for actually getting out and investigating this. But again, I've been there. I've done that. Where you are led.
You can only do so much after the fact.
That is true. And you have to rely on the fact that nothing has been altered or changed. Now, it would be very difficult to change the architecture. Move a water tower. You're not going to do that. But most
no, but eight shell casings.
There you go. That's correct. And you know, on the comments, and thank you, folks, for commenting on Rumble. Brighteon, but Rumble appears to be where most people are commenting. Thank you for commenting on that platform. Let me do this, switch gears in the middle of this, because somebody had pointed something out, and I pointed something out after they pointed something out. Now, let's see here. It involves the difference between crooks and the other individuals. Let me find this. Oh, Eric the Tech. What can I tell you, brother? Let's see here. The title, or the episode I'm referring to, is episode 4712, Interim Investigative Report. I'm looking at this. Somebody had written, and there's a very important distinction to be made, which is why I'm doing this. I think this is so very important for people to really understand. Just talk among yourselves as I do this. It was a comment with numerous.
We need a rat pack.
This is the listenership drops off, I'm telling you.
Cue buffer music.
Yeah. Elevator music. But please, folks, please watch yesterday's episode. Is he ready? Sorry. Look at you. All right. Hang on. I'm coming to that. Colombo is my better half. I'm telling you, the Colombo approach works wonders when you're out there. I say that from experience. Okay. It involves the photo and the difference between actually seeing the person in a photo. There's a lot of people I guess I can just say it this way. You know, there are two individuals reportedly being confused or being conflated as one, as the shooter. And without getting into that, there was a comment about, well, this individual was the shooter. Evidence will show this individual was the shooter. Referencing a photograph. No, I disagree. It shows a photo which can be manipulated or made to look like something it's not. In other words, the poster, the individual commenting on this, and again, my apologies for not finding it. This was kind of a natural progression into what we were talking about. Folks, look, anyone can take a picture or alter a picture and say this is what happened. Whether it's the position of the body on top of the roof, the shell casings. If, for example, and this is a way I work with especially in consulting for homicides, I do not consult without the authenticated. For example, if it's a cold case, I need to see the original crime scene photographs as they were taken. I don't care if they're in black and white. I need to see the original notes. I need to see the original communications. Everything has to be original. It's got to be from the police folder files back in my day. Yeah, from the file. You take it, and this is the original photograph. I remember sitting many, many times at PSP or various law enforcement offices going through the original folder and looking at the original photographs. Some were Polaroids back then. But you've got to go to the original, because when you see, for example, a roof and there are 8 shell casings, so where did that photograph come from? Was that taken by the response team, by a member of the response team? And can that member of the response team verify the authenticity of that photograph? Usually, when I look at old cold cases, there is a statement attached or somewhere in the folder, a statement that, yes, I took this photograph, because on cold cases, people die. You know, investigators leave or die, you've got to know that those photographs that you're looking at are authentic to the scene. Otherwise, you don't know what the hell you're looking at, which is why this is going to be so incredibly difficult on using social media alone. Okay, it's just not, it ain't cool. But I digress. So I'm not going to spend my time here looking for this comment, but understand the difference between, oh, that's not the person on the roof, or the person on the roof was this individual B. Now, you're talking about a photograph or a still image from a video. You're not talking about the actual individual, because the information I have, and I've talked to three individuals, including, in addition to my source, who's a law enforcement officer in Butler, three individuals who said, look, this was what I saw happen on the roof. This is what I saw with respect to the response. And those individuals received a visit from either DHS or HSI, the FBI or Secret Service. And they're being pressured, much like it was back in the days of Oswald and Kennedy, being pressured into saying, wait a second, this is what I saw. Just like TWA 800, this is what I saw. And suddenly what they're saying that they saw has no relationship to what the witness interview statements show. I didn't say that. There is rot even at the street level.
9/11
is the same way. Thank you. So this is all critically important for people to understand. This is not going to, this is a long time. Folks, I'm telling you, this is a long time, one hell of a complicated investigation. It doesn't have to be. If everyone told the truth and if everything was transparent, it wouldn't have to be, but it's not. And that's how you can tell, look, there is a deep state plot here. That's one of the reasons you can tell, or one of the methods you can tell. This is a deep state plot. So,
just a heads up.
Yep.
Just you and I.
Not
of the show.
Not a problem. Just you and me. You want to come sit next to me? Or you want to keep your...
It's too weird.
It's too... I'm a deplorable, so I can't be seen with a weird person. Where did I put my show notes? What did you do with my show notes? Here they are. Okay. Even the best laid plans. If we go back to the timeline, again, some important stuff here with this timeline. Because this could have been, they could have stopped this, but didn't. This, you cannot chalk up incompetence. Dan Bongino, I love you, brother. I really do. But at some point, you're going to have to come to the realization, I think you will, that there was some internal planning to kill President Trump within and including the Secret Service. They might not have been the lead to take him out, but played a very important role in this plot. All right, so as I mentioned yesterday, from 351, actually in this case 350, maybe they rounded down, to 401, a drone was flown over the rally site. Now, Ray said it was a couple hundred yards away from the rally site. When you look at this, the individual I spoke with said, no, it wasn't a couple hundred, it might have been 100 yards up, but certainly not a couple of hundred yards away. But this is pre-shooting surveillance done by Thomas Crooks. Now, the drone was found in a vehicle owned by someone else. And you notice I'm not throwing that name out there yet, because that's part of our investigation. Someone connected to Arizona. So if Crooks was the one doing the drone flying, why was it in someone else's vehicle? Especially if Crooks rode by a bicycle to the scene. And why was that vehicle flatbedded, registered to someone in Arizona? Why was it flatbedded? And said to have explosives in that vehicle. Yet Crooks had the detonator, but oh, this was a lone person, right? Are they one and the same? Are they the same person? I don't think so.
And where was that vehicle parked?
That's a really great question. I'm not going to tell you. It was parked away from the rally site. I'll just say that.
So it would blow up another vehicle?
It would. No. It depends on who you ask. Isn't that always the case? What was the purpose of that vehicle that had these explosive devices in it? And remember, they want you to believe that Crooks is responsible for all of this. The drone flying, the shooting, all of the pre-assassination stuff, making, manufacturing of the explosives.
Yeah, the vehicle is just a cherry on top.
Right? So, I mean, it's all... Boy, he was a busy guy, right? Crooks. Alone. Just like they want you to believe he had nothing to do with no social media footprint. Yet he was this big tech person with his father. And have you seen his parents? Pictures of his parents? Supposedly his mother's blind. And his father is... His father... Wow. Have you seen pictures of them on social media? We have them. We have who we believe. Well, we have the people who live in that house. I'll just the house supposedly belonging to Crooks or occupied by Crooks. The house that was scrubbed clean, as is normally done. That alone... The scrubbing of that house between the time the first shot fired.
That is weird.
You've got, I don't care who you are. That's weird and deplorable. But you've got to know that agencies, that you've got to know they were involved, that there was high level involvement. Because you cannot. People think it's really easy because they watch one-hour crime dramas on TV to clean up a crime scene. Oh, bleach. Use bleach on blood. Okay, the pros will come in, and in seconds, I mean minutes, I shouldn't say, in minutes, they'll replace the floor. They won't clean it up. They'll replace it.
Are they available for hire?
You think about that. Yeah, they're available for hire. Only to people that have nefarious deeds planned, apparently. So the drone, which was talked about during the hearing with Ray, of course, was depicted as a rearview mirror of the scene behind him and a better assessment of angle toward the podium. And the FBI has recovered the drone, but remember and think about this. No one asked, well, where did you recover it from? Who owned the vehicle where the drone was? And where's that person? And what did that person have to do with this whole mess? So the timeline, and I would urge you to go through this and read this. Although it's good, it's got many questions that need answered. At 5:10, a sniper notices Crooks. Now, this is important because did a Secret Service agent sniper notice Crooks? No. It was local law enforcement. This according to Senator Ron Johnson. And that sniper was one of two. Remember, the third one went home early. Some say for a family emergency. Some say it was just the normal procedure. It was previously scheduled that way.
Then you replace him.
That is correct. But did they? Mm-mm. No. So the sniper is one of two posted inside the American Glass Research ARG building, or the AGR building, the same building from which Mr. Crooks fires an hour later. Notes this particular account, the sniper who notices Mr. Crooks does not immediately report it. Notice how they're shifting this accountability to local law enforcement. And I'm just saying, were local law enforcement responsible for this? Not at this level. Now, I'm telling you, you're dealing with different levels of events. You're dealing with...
I'm telling you right now.
Go ahead.
Local law enforcement was completely in charge of this. This wouldn't have happened.
There it is. In fact, there might be... How can I put this? If local law enforcement was in charge of this, I guarantee you, you would probably have some real plotters, schemers, conspirators in cuffs. You're exactly correct on this.
I'm not saying there's not corrupt local law enforcement.
Oh, believe me, there is. But you're exactly right on this. Local law enforcement was more... If they're responsible for anything, it's my belief, based on my research and investigation so far, there might have been mistakes. Well, there were mistakes made by local law enforcement, but not with malicious intent. Where the malicious intent comes, it comes at the Secret Service level and above. It comes from, I would say, directly from Mayorkas.
Local law enforcement's basically handcuffed in
yes.
this situation.
Yeah.
They can only do what they're told to do.
Correct. And I've got to say, they were expecting, which is not a part of this, they were expecting a briefing the morning before or the day before this rally. They were not even given the heads up on this rally until after it was made public. And then, and only then, did they ask for, yet did not receive, a briefing by the Secret Service advance team when they asked for it. So, again, follow the line. And Mike Benz is... In fact, let's go to this. This is... Folks, go to HagmanPI.com, please. Do me two favors. Please forgive me, but permit me to ask you these favors. Favor number one is subscribe to us on Rumble. Or whatever podcast app you're using, please subscribe to us. Okay, we don't spam anything. It increases our numbers. Even if you never watch this again after today, you might not. But at least there's a level of recognition. Because when we had a quarter of a million subscribers on YouTube when they took us off, we had a different, Eric, what would you call that? We were at a different level, and there was more exposure to our content. Yet, out of that quarter of a million, let's be realistic, maybe 50, 100,000 actually, you know, tuned in, right? So it does help with the numbers. It helps with our numbers. So please subscribe to us on Rumble. And the second thing is please do go to the show notes and take advantage of what I've gone through. Click on the links. Watch the source videos. Watch or look at the source documents. So
good
you
homework.
Yourself can do it. Yeah. 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 So especially if you don't have time to watch this show, you can go right through and go through everything. All right. This is Cut E of Source Video 2. This is a little over 4 minutes. And again, this is important because Mike Benz with Natalie Winters on the War Room yesterday really hits at the heart of the questions not asked, the questions not being asked. Because we can spend and spin our wheels a long time with respect to the Crooks versus Person B shooter. That wasn't the same person. And we should go there. We must go there. However, understand we're talking about a photo. We first have to authenticate the photo or video, not with just one person, but with multiple people to make sure we're dealing with an authentic artifact. Don't fall for some of the fakes that are being put out there, because there are some, not a lot, but there are some. We found some, and they're not obvious either. But let's go to Cuddy, source video 2. This is from the War Room yesterday. Watch this.
July 13th, Well, we know there's pressure on the tech platforms to reduce access to the iconic Trump fight, fight, fight photo, because there were talking points memos circulated in the media that were leaked that instructed anchors and editors to not put that picture on screen and not to linger on it because it glorified Trump and made him look good. And so this is basically a plausible deniability type operation with what Facebook did. There is a technique they use called near duplicate hashing, which is this idea that once they load an image into a database to be banned or throttled, it picks up on what it calls near duplicates, so that people can't evade the ban on the image by posting something similar to it that slightly alters it. And their official story today, after the heat they're picking up now for censoring that image, is that they had intended to suffer a slightly altered version that purported to show Secret Service agents smiling, but first of all, they know what their technology does. So what they said is someone altered an image, that image, to put a smile on the face of a Secret Service agent, and that them putting that into the banned images database picked up through the near duplicate of the actual original photo itself. They know what their technology does. And frankly, folks, there was a range of emotions that appeared in real time for anyone who did see it. So I'm not even sure I buy the official story, but you have a lot of parallels, not just on the censorship of coverage of January 6th and the censorship of the July 13th event, but even on the foreknowledge case. Earlier today, it came out that none other than Nancy Pelosi, the person in charge of Capitol security that day on January 6th, received advance notice of a plot to breach the Capitol the day before. Now, what we know is that about 6 months ago, it came out that Nancy Pelosi had actually been filmed by her daughter, who was shooting in the Capitol that day, a documentary. She had been filmed in real time with this exact, saying this exact quote, and it's at the top of my X feed at Mike Ben Cyber right now. "I've been waiting for this, for trespassing on Capitol grounds." As Nancy Pelosi, the person who was supposed to be in charge of Capitol security, but denied requests for additional troops and additional support, in the Capitol as it was being breached, being giddy that the breach was happening and confessing to foreknowledge that it would happen because she said, "I've been waiting for this," and then explicitly named the crime that she was waiting for, trespassing on Capitol grounds. And so you have the situation now where we're learning of
it. Because the other thing too, okay, now Mike Benz talks about the foreknowledge. We saw that with respect to the Trump assassination attempt with the shorting of the Donald J. Trump stock, that somebody knew in advance. Somebody, big money, somebody knew in advance, if not knew, most assuredly was involved in the planning. January 6th, the same thing, same template. You could take this all the way back to the Whitmer Fednapping case to JFK and everything in between. It's the same playbook.
What's your
people.
Other tagline? Follow the money.
Follow the money. That's right. Investigators do that all the time. They follow the money. And that's a convoluted path, let me tell you, because they don't make it easy with shell companies. And, you could send IRS agents into, I'm sure, Soros's conglomerate, and they could be lost forever. In that maze. I'm just saying, you follow the money. But in the end of the day, like 9/11, the airline stocks shorted. Gee, you think there was some foreknowledge here? As Mike Benz points out, January 6th, foreknowledge. The assassination.
And then what happened? Trump stood up and they said, "We accidentally put too many zeros short that stock. We need a refund."
Yeah, yeah. Now, my question, were there any payouts? Like 9/11, I don't believe anyone. Look, I don't know about 9/11. I don't recall, actually. Who received the money? Where did that money go? Now, obviously, the shorting of Donald J. Trump stocks went horribly wrong, so there was no money to collect, but what about the other way? Okay, go ahead. And the first part, I should have really cut that in half. The first part was about the censorship issue, which is really prevalent. We talked about that yesterday and showed you that yesterday. But it also has merit to what I spoke about earlier, the photographs that are going around. You're talking about a photograph, not an authenticated, not someone says, look, I was there. Yes, I took this picture. I was there. I saw this. This is what I saw. It's an accurate depiction of what I saw. You're not going to find that. But the first part of this, of course, was the censorship issue. And now he gets into the actual event itself. Go ahead.
Advanced knowledge of the shooter from Secret Service, from local law enforcement. And you know what remains now is, was there also foreknowledge from the FBI and DHS? That is, was there foreknowledge from the FBI in the form of somebody being in his group chat, him having been radicalized by an online community that had feds in it, a similar situation to the Whitmer Fed napping, or to the Garland, Texas ISIS attack, or to the 2017 Three Percenters militia infiltration, you know, this very common technique, or did it come from within DHS itself and sheltered off even from the Justice Department in the form of HSI, Homeland Security Investigations, with a very curious note here, which was that Secret Service was understaffed that day, we are told, because of the NATO summit. And so Trump had a reduced Secret Service detail, and many of the people who were supposed to be Secret Service were replaced by, you guessed it, members of HSI. So it could have been a totally closed shop if HSI agents had been in contact with that shooter. And what if it was an HSI agent who was in that small compartmentalized loop who was supposed to be guarding the roof and stood down that day because they were keeping it all at that cellular level?
If you were shorthanded, wouldn't you tap on the sheriff to say, hey, we need some extra security here?
You know, that's a very interesting question. I will have an answer to you on that. Because there's an interesting story with respect to that county, the sheriff of that county.
That there's still about a minute left of this. Do you want it or not?
No, I think people can watch it on their own. In fact, you can watch the entire video because of the time that we have left here. I began starting out with the fact that the left has no intent. Let me tell you something. The left has no intention of relinquishing power whatsoever this election day. They've got no intention. How are they going to do that? Look at Venezuela right now. You can go to yesterday's show notes at HagmanPI.com and find the link to Venezuela. And you can see what's happening. Just look online and see what's happening in Venezuela with the approval and imprimatur of Heels Up Harris and bumbling Biden. But one of the most important cold opens I've seen was yesterday. And you can, I also have this source video also contains Tom Renz, who is on the War Room with Natalie Winters. Again, a good friend, a guy who knows where the bodies are buried. Not only that, how to dig them up and how to fight against this tyranny. But at least let's go to the cold open, which is cut a source video to watch this and think about planning starting right now, how you're going to handle this. Go ahead, cut a.
Fortunately, I have to give you a very long, I don't know the answer to your question answer. Because it is very complicated. And quite honestly, you know, the health sector doesn't know what to do because this is now first and foremost a political problem. And what I've said to the Biden administration is the health sector can't solve this on its own. We're going to have to bring in Homeland Security, the Commerce Department, Justice Department to help us understand how to do this. And I've said the same with I met with Dr. Tedros last month in Geneva, WHO, the director general, to say, I don't know that the World Health Organization can solve this on our own. We need the other United Nations agencies, NATO. This is a security problem because it's no longer a theoretical construct or some arcane academic exercise. 200,000 Americans died because of anti-vaccine aggression, anti-science aggression. And so this is now a lethal force that, and now I feel as a pediatric vaccine scientist, it's just as important for me to make new vaccines to save lives. The other side of saving lives is countering this anti-vaccine aggression.
No, and you look at Wisconsin, and that is just absolutely ground zero for probably the state of the three most important states where this election is going to be decided. And the polling, the recent polling is so close that it just shows how this election is going to be such a nail biter and really subject to what crazy event is going to happen and ultimately shake it in one direction or the other over the next 6 months.
To Lisa's point, there were a pair of polls released just.
Yeah, this bird flu has arrived in the U.S. very fast and furious. We think it was introduced back in February. That's what the data is indicating. It was one transmission from some bird to cattle, to cows. And it's mostly right now being transmitted among dairy cows because we think it's because of the milking machines and just the general situation. Especially the concentration of the virus is very, very high in the milk. And that's why we're also telling people not to drink raw milk, because unless it's pasteurized, then we're mostly certain pasteurization is okay, even though pasteurization doesn't kill all viruses. It should be okay. But definitely don't drink raw milk. And there's a big segment of the population that is really into raw milk right now. And I'm very worried about them. But somehow this fad is still continuing despite all the risk that's currently going on. And because this bird flu, as you said, it's 50% mortality among those who we detect it. And if this truly jumps into humans and spreads human to human, we're in deep trouble.
So that was the cold open from yesterday. So that should give you some insight into what they are planning. We do have some time. So let's go to, this would be Cut B, Tom Renz, again, with On the War Room. I tried to grab the best of the best here. This starts at right after the cold open and right after Natalie Winters takes care of some business. This begins, I believe, at the 412 mark. This is Cut B from the same video. Here it is.
NBC, that's a clip from a few months ago, saying the quiet part out loud that this election is going to be determined by some unforeseen event, some unforeseen circumstance, except when you actually do the research, when you do the due diligence, you see that bird flu is a disease that our elites have been intent on weaponizing and manipulating, sort of similar to COVID-19 for years now. It's no surprise that it is now allegedly emerging at the rate it is. Or at least they're hyping it in the mainstream media. That opening clip, of course, Dr. Peter Hotez, one of the leading voices, demanding that you're a bad American if you don't get your COVID-19 vaccine. Well, he now wants to weaponize the entire force of the federal government, even the Commerce Department, in concert with the United Nations and probably the World Economic Forum, too, to try to dispel any rising anti-vaccine sentiment here in the United States, because we'll say the quiet part very out loud here in the war room, which is that it looks like they are trying to make bird flu the next public health scare that I'm sure will necessitate mail-in ballots and lockdowns and all that good stuff that we have not forgotten about. As the Atlantic tried to push for pandemic amnesty, we do not like any form of amnesty here in the war room, let alone pandemic amnesty, because if we don't hold the elites accountable, we know that they will try to roll out a similar pandemic. Some would say it's a plandemic all over again. Joining me now to discuss this and so much more is the one and only Tom Renz. Now, Tom, I would just love to get your thoughts on that opening clip of Dr. Peter Hotez insisting that the entire force of the federal government needs to be rolled out to dispel anti-vaccine sentiment.
Well, he looks like Harry Potter's Uncle Vernon, honestly. And Uncle Vernon there apparently does not care any more about the Constitution now than he did before. The Supreme Court said repeatedly the Constitution doesn't take a break in an emergency, but we had $14 trillion with a T exchange hands under the COVID debacle, and no one's been held accountable. So you can bet on the fact that they're going to try and do it again. And Hotez is the poster boy for Big Pharma. So, you know, he's going to say whatever it takes to make sure that his masters are making their $14 trillion again.
So sort of when we track these narratives, we're all about the signal and not the noise here in the war room. It's not something that they really come out and explicitly say, right? You sort of have to read the tea leaves. And one of the, I think, major tells is that they've given emergency use authorization for bird flu vaccines. Can you walk the audience through that development and the significance of that?
Yeah, this is profound, and the timing on it is so, so important. So you've got to understand, on June 28th, the Loper decision was made. And for the audience, in case you don't know, the Loper decision overturned something that in law we call the Chevron doctrine. And basically, in doing so, they made it a lot easier for a guy like me to sue the federal government and the deep state, the fourth branch, the administrative agencies. So I have a lot more ability to sue them now than I did before. Shortly thereafter, they recategorized, the FDA recategorized and issued and extended an EUA authorization for bird flu, basically. This is really profound, and it's a major tell. See, what I think was going to happen is the law for COVID vaccines was substantially different than the law would be for a flu vaccine. Flu vaccines have been out for a long time, and there's a lot of court cases out there that allows them to mandate a traditional flu vaccine. Now, what they, I think they were doing is they were going to push mRNA into the flu vaccines, which would essentially make it COVID vaccine 2.0, and then try and force the flu vaccines on people using flu vaccine law, even though it was just another version of the COVID vaccine. Because of the Loper decision, that's harder for them to push through. So now they had to essentially kind of pull out the old COVID playbook and suggest that this was another emergency use authorization situation. So what I would expect now is when disease X rolls out, when the bird flu is, something that they're going to claim has made, some sort of a dent in the human population, they're going to try and push the bird flu vaccines in the same way that they push the COVID vaccines.
Okay, you can cut right there.
So HHS Secretary.
He goes really deep into that subject. And I think it's important to listen to the entirety of his answer. And also that Chevron deference opinion has done more good to attack the deep state, to defend against the deep state and these permanent bureaucrats. I'm telling you, of all of the decisions up to and even perhaps including the immunity decision by the Supreme Court, the Chevron deference case or the Chevron case, the Loper, the fisherman in New England who went and filed this lawsuit that was heard by the Supreme Court and winning, I'm telling you, has more to do with everything that we are seeing than people realize from the experimental genetic therapy, gene therapy shots to how we do business on a daily basis and the Chamber of Commerce. It's an amazing decision, and it's an amazing thing that when I look at this, I'm thinking, my goodness, if the people only knew how the regulations benefited the deep state, and I think, folks, you do. And how now they are prohibited to the extent where Congress wants to refine the laws out there to be more specific. So to get in your business, it's a very precarious time right now. A lot of things hang in the balance. So they've got to roll this out, among other things, including and especially taking Donald Trump out. I'm telling you right now, this is not the last time that we're going to be talking about an attempt on President Donald J. Trump's life. And sadly, that's the truth. That's everything I've found. Go back to this for genetic therapy. Go back to this for an insight into crooks. Folks, God bless you. Thank you so much for listening.